Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Toasty.
And it's time to get classy.
That too.
So we got a big...
Goodness big gracious, great balls of fire. It's hot in North Carolina this week. And it's only going to get hotter.
Yes, it is. Middle of July. Nowhere to go but up.
Nowhere to go but up. So there's a lot of things to talk about that are... enraging. Should we just go chronologically, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's great balls of fire.
I mean, that's most of my feelings right. Are still hung on great balls.
Right. And by and large, the pay-per-view wasn't bad. By and large. I would have liked Samojo if he was going to lose to more than just one out of five.
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there. Because, Because
I figured we would just be painting great balls with some broad strokes here.
I mean, broad strokes, there's a lot of like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that definitely happened.
Yeah.
And it was like a solid, like, 2.5-star feeling encompassing it. Like, there was nothing, like, downtroddingly bad.
Yeah.
There was nothing, you know, upliftingly great. But then as I started to break down, I was like, individually, each and every one of these matches perturbed me in some way.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so like...
I think for me, I was more enraged by the fallout, I guess, of Great Balls than I was with the pay-per-view itself. Because I still, like, you know... By and large, it wasn't a bad pay-per-view. Honestly, like, this Joe and Brock, I thought was a really good match for the most part.
We'll skip to Joe and Brock, since you seem...
I'm sorry.
Bound
and
determined.
Well, that was the big...
After we made a blood pact 20 seconds ago to go in chronological order,
well, yeah, but
you want to jump to the end of the card.
That was the match that they hung this pay-per-view's hat on. So it kind of, like... You know, granted, you know, they'll always put a ton of weight behind the Roman match, but...
Let's discuss for a moment.
Okay.
Let's discuss...
Oh, God, you're clap-talking.
Let's discuss...
That's the sign of showing someone you're pissed off.
The concept of finishers.
Okay.
So, a finisher is a move that, for whatever reason, is better than every other move that that wrestler can do.
Okay.
Like, digging straight into kayfabe. That's the move... That's undefeatable.
Sure. 2 points, just real quick. Just
okay.
Hold on to that thought. You're talking as if you're teaching me something. And let me remind you, I've been a wrestling fan for far longer than you. Okay, just want to get out of the way.
Making sure we're on the same page here.
I just wanted to make sure.
I'm laying out what we're in agreement with.
Okay. All right, continue.
So we can understand
yes.
where exactly it's all going to go terribly, terribly wrong.
Hence the name Finisher.
This means things like the leg drop, when done by Hogan, is unavoidable. You've lost the match if he hits this leg drop.
And good God, if he hits it twice, you should be dead.
So, recently, in the grand scheme of wrestling,
yeah,
recently it's become a big thing to kick out of a finisher
right.
at a big match. Essentially... At a pay-per-view when you're fighting The Undertaker.
Right. Essentially, the finisher market has crashed.
Yes.
And it takes, like, yes. at least 4 finishers.
Long story short...
Big matches have, like, 10 finishers.
We've come to this point where finishers are being kicked out more and more frequently.
Yeah.
We are not too far removed, I'm willing to bet, from the super finisher. Which, somewhere in the next 5 years, someone will debut a super finisher. Probably Roman. Will debut a super finisher.
Well, yeah, he did. That, like, running back and forth, that running back and forth spear that he hit Undertaker with to end the match at Mania.
Which, okay, yeah, fair enough. Super finisher.
It's stupid. Or Cena's, either, I can't remember if it was a top rope or middle rope, AA. I don't think anyone's kicked out of that.
There you go, super finisher. We're just, you know, yeah. digivolving our finishers into sure. greater and greater things. But that gets to the point where... We come to Samoa Joe losing to a single F5.
Right.
And so there is an argument to be had about that is a finisher. That's how finishers right. work. The F5 is a good finisher performed by a good wrestler.
But that matches in today's finisher market.
Not only is that match in today's finisher market, Brock Lesnar fights almost exclusively on pay-per-views where finishers are have a half-life of some kind.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because of that...
There's a half-off sale for finishers on
the F5. We have not seen a match-finishing single F5 in, I don't know, Kofi?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, so really, like, in the sense, then, yeah, that's the way that match should have been, you know, the way it should have finished. But it just in today's finisher market, which sounds like I'm just trying to say farmer's market.
Oh, I was hearing furniture market.
Oh, that too. In today's finisher market, it feels cheap, but it shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
In the grand scheme of things.
Right.
Right.
And it's kind of one of the things like, technically, you can't be mad. It's a finisher.
Right.
Where you're like, no, but grand scheme of things.
Right.
And like, up until that point, I was enjoying several parts of that match.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to come out of that match being like, oh, no, I'm good. This feels good. Joe came out of the match looking good because he was on the offense for most of the match. He sprung up right after that F5, so it was like a, you know, oh, this just barely got him. Brock kind of ran away at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there for, like, the victory,
sure,
you know, strut. And you're like, and it's kind of a thing where I can see the argument of, oh, it's booked in a Joe got sloppy kind of like Brock didn't beat Joe. Joe right. lost on his own hubris. Right.
And that's one of the things I did like about that match is, you know, even with that finisher, that even if it feels, you know, kind of cheap or whatever, it felt like Joe really did look strong, like, against Brock. Like, he got more offense against Brock than most guys do.
He did.
He looked better after that match than I would definitely like Dean versus Brock at WrestleMania.
But this, to me, this almost has to bring up the concept of, do we keep finishers in today's society? In today's wrestling?
Yeah.
Are finishers relevant, almost? Because they're...
I would say they were relevant. Like, look how hard Joe had been working the last month to get the Kokita Clutch over. And honestly, it was successful.
Yeah, but it's also a submission.
It is also a submission, but it is a finisher because he's used that more than the Muscle Buster on the main roster.
No, he has.
So, like, it has a place.
Okay,
I just don't think it's utilized correctly.
But, so, let's say, and part of it is some of your finishers out there are stupid.
Oh, sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just look dumb. Mm-hmm. The F5 looks fine. I mean, it's a pickup, right. It's a drop, it's not a better...
It's a big, strong dude picking up somebody and
right.
tossing him down.
But if that match had ended on without the F5, he did the F5, and then he did 2-3 straight German suplexes.
Right.
I feel like I would have been so much more okay with, oh, he got beat.
Right.
Because and maybe this is a Brock Lesnar-specific thing, mm-hmm. but it almost feels like the several German suplexes in a row mm-hmm. is his finisher now.
Yeah.
That feels like his powerhouse move. That feels his destructo move.
Well, yeah, because you don't call it, like, you know, F5 City. Like, they've spent, like, the last couple years marketing his suplexes. You
yes.
know, that's the whole Suplex City mm-hmm. thing. Like, so it really comes down to they've gotten over the suplex while forgetting that he has a finisher. Not forgetting, but, you know, they don't put it over at nearly as much as the suplex.
Right, but...
Because suplex sells t-shirts.
But part of what works about that suplex mm-hmm. is the repetition of it.
Yeah.
And it sells, it has the Heyman's counting.
Right.
And it gets the crowd counting. But this let's say, three in a row mm-hmm. looks more devastating than a single finisher. And I'm questioning what...
Well, I do like that he's using... Like, he's using the multiple German suplexes and then uses the F5 as kind of like the exclamation point. Because that's usually, like, because that's what happened with Joe.
But Joe got some offense in between the last suplex and...
Did he?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Okay,
fine.
And that's the thing. Is like, if that had happened, I would have been okay. Because I feel like the reason the finisher is so much harder to buy into kayfabe now is that it's a single move that ends the match.
Right.
And for that reason, like, the tombstone... And the Cobra are same tier moves.
Right.
And I just, I and part of it is finishers are happening all the time. Like if a finisher was busted out at WrestleMania, maybe. I don't know. Because it still has this like, oh, so why aren't they going for the finisher all the time?
Right.
I'm going to do a really weird thing real quick and compliment the five moves of Doom. But part of what I do like about John Cena is in that whole setup, duck, rope, shoulder block kind of thing that he does, you know, that's 20 seconds and very annoying that he does the same thing.
Sure.
It's very annoying he does the same thing, but it hits the opponent multiple times within that. He hits the two shoulder blocks, then he hits the F5. And I appreciate that... There is a sequence where his opponent is hit multiple times and then, as you said, exclamation pointed with the final move.
Fair.
So if, using Brock as an example, Brock did suplex, suplex, then F5.
Right.
And you can't do that in matches where both guys are all so tired and he manages to pull out the one move.
Right.
But I don't mind finishers so much in that one.
Right.
I don't know. And maybe, like, I'll fully admit, maybe I'm actually arguing for a super finisher. Because
maybe
I need a combo attack.
So I'm sitting here, like, while you're saying all that, I'm trying to think of, like, so what exactly was his problem with the match? Because, like, I don't really see the big problem with how it ended, now that I'm thinking about it. Like, I mean, a little bit of it is Joe did all that business before the ring, or before the bell even started. Like he put himself in such a far advantage, and then for Brock Lesnar to come back relatively quickly because it wasn't a long match.
I was a little perturbed about the match length, but I got over that. It is that Joe. I knew Joe was going to lose. I don't think anybody is shocked at the outcome of that.
This close to SummerSlam, exactly. They're not going to have Brock lose. Yeah,
but. I went into it hoping and expecting to a reasonable extent that Joe would come out looking good.
Yeah.
That they would, you know, very stiffly beat the crap out of each other.
Sure.
I don't like that Joe lost to what is essentially a magic move.
Okay.
Which is what finishers are at this point.
Yeah.
And that's... And so my frustrations with finishers as a concept is coming out more than on this one particular match.
So really,
because it wasn't over. I mean, it wasn't any more egregious in this match than it is in other examples throughout the past several years of wrestling history.
So really, your main issue with all this is finisher inflation.
Yes, kind of. But I think it's almost just with finishers as a thing. I'm not sure they work. In today's wrestling, the way they worked.
Okay.
In the Attitude Era or the Golden Era.
Okay. I don't even want to know how much finishers are worth in the Golden Era. I don't know what the buy rate of gold is right now. I've used up every like Wall Street term I know.
Gold and buy rate?
Gold, buy rate, inflation.
Oh wow.
Market.
Good job.
Shares somewhere? I don't know. Can we move on to something so that doesn't have financial metaphors in?
I've also decided I really don't care for the Big Cass and Enzo match.
Yeah, that was Big Cass versus Ragdoll.
I don't care for this.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. This honestly decided to bother me like on Wednesday after the thing. Because I was like, oh, okay, they're doing it that way. And then like, Wednesday, maybe Thursday this week, I thought about it. I was like, no, I'm upset about this.
Okay. Why are you upset about it now?
for reasons I should have been upset about it.
Yeah, because I'm saying,
no new information came. Yeah. I just had to, like, mull it over.
Okay.
It just, it does so much to highlight what's wrong with each guy.
Right, yeah.
It highlights that, because it was such a one-sided squash match, essentially.
Right.
And, like, when something like that happens, you almost have to be like, what did Enzo do backstage?
Because that was the big rumor now coming out, is that a lot of this is being kind of, like, expedited because of the heat that Enzo specifically is getting
mm-hmm.
backstage. And, you know, Cass is kind of getting the... I don't even know, but he's getting heat by proximity.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they don't want that because, you know, they obviously feel very strongly about Big Cass's potential in the ring, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, there's rumor that those both guys are not exactly happy with it, like, because, as you're saying, it's pointing out both their weaknesses. Yeah. It's showing that Enzo isn't an opposing force or a force at all in the ring, no. for that matter. And Cass, aside from a couple, like, he can have good promos when he's really into it. Like, there's, like, one or two, like, the promo when he first turned on Enzo.
Yeah.
Was really good for him.
Back when Enzo hit the ropes and was out for a month or two.
Yeah.
There were several times where Big Cass said something like, oh, that he's being fed these things.
Right.
But he's trying and he's doing okay.
Anytime, like, where he
I
almost, sounds...
I wonder if I was like, was I giving him a benefit of the doubt back then? I want to go back and watch those promos to be like, oh, was he actually okay back then? Or did I just want him to be okay back then?
Anytime where he's sounding like a robot and he is specifically reading the script and he has that cadence. Right. Like, and that feels like every Big Cass promo aside from, like, that the one standout promo.
Right.
But he's not going to be able to deliver that standout promo because, you know, you don't care about everything that much all the time.
So as this match highlights what each guy's failings are in the ring, it's also, by default, mm-hmm. as a side effect, highlighting why they worked so well as a tag team.
Sure.
And you can watch this match and be like, man, those guys would shine so much as a tag team together.
Right.
They fill each other's weaknesses so well.
But at the same time, were they really being used?
They weren't being used. But that's just a they weren't being used thing. I don't think that's a they weren't working thing.
Right. Oh, yeah. I think that kind of more goes towards the rumor of them getting heat backstage. Should we move on to Roman and Strowman?
Roman and Strowman.
Okay, so is Roman still a face? Because I felt like everyone was like, all right, they're going that way. And apparently on Raw, I didn't watch Raw Talk, but apparently on Raw Talk after the pay-per-view, they were kind of leaning more towards Roman heel.
At this point, until Roman insults the local sports team,
right?
I don't feel comfortable being like, Roman's turned heel.
So we're supposed, by WWE's, you know, logic here, we're supposed to be cheering for a guy who basically committed a felony, attempted vehicular manslaughter.
Yes.
Because he was mad that he himself jumped into the open arms of defeat. No one beat him but himself. He literally, with arms wide open, just like a bad Creed song, jumped into the back of an ambulance on his own. And his thinking is, oh, that sucks. Let me try to kill this guy. And we're supposed to be cheering for that.
I, too, want to bag on Roman.
Right.
But I do have to point out
mm-hmm.
that maybe the most over face of all time, Stone Cold, was commonly using motorized vehicles sure. to attack his opponents.
You want to know the difference between Stone Cold and Roman? Roman isn't over as a face.
I am aware of that, but I can see the as flawed as it is, I can see the trail of logic of Roman is not over.
Oh, sure.
Stone Cold is over.
Well, they've
the only difference is the amount of vehicles used as weapons against opponents.
Right. I believe either last year or the year before leading up to WrestleMania. No, it was the year before. Leading up to WrestleMania, their Roman storyline was clearly like copy and paste from the Daniel Bryan leading up to WrestleMania 30 storyline. Like they were literally doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't work. So now I guess they're trying more of the Stone Cold stuff with Roman.
It honestly
feels
like
let's add vehicles.
Yes.
You know, let's add attempted vehicular manslaughter.
I mean, I would 100% love for this to be like the beginnings of a heel turn or the ending of a heel turn.
Right.
Like
also, again, why is given the way that they booked it and given how I promise you they knew where they're going from that point on. Why would you have Roman lose that way in such a dumb fashion, character-wise? Like, that shows that character is stupid to do that.
Yes.
And then the next night be like, oh, well, he's going to have a chance to be the number one contender. It's bad enough you've got two guys who both lost the night before.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, competing for, you know, you've got both Samoa Joe and a Joe that is Samoan fighting against each other next week for the number one contendership.
Yes.
Both lost. Granted, Samoa Joe lost to look strong.
And lost to the champion.
Yes. Roman lost the match himself. Again, jumping arms wide open into the arms of the
Okay, okay. Real quick, Roman did officially lose that match, right?
Yes.
Because I've seen different things.
Because
at some point there was a stipulation on the ambulance match is they have to go in the ambulance and then you have to drive away.
I believe, from what I understand, both in this ambulance match and in ambulance matches in the past, once they shut that door, bell rings, theme music plays. I believe the bell rung.
Okay, I don't remember the bell ringing, but I totally believe you.
I didn't go back and watch it because I don't want to.
Totally fair.
But I believe the bell did ring.
But I have.
And they declared Braun the winner.
I have, in conflicting reports, seen different. Both guys declared the winner.
Right.
Because of the driving away stipulation.
Either way, even if Roman won the match, you're still rewarding the guy who just committed a felony and should be. Even in kayfabe. Prosecuted.
That you seemed upset about when Kurt Angle, GM, was on screen.
Yeah. I mean, he was there.
Like, he didn't give him an attaboy or anything.
Right. But yeah, he's still, like, the next night, he like, it's like Kurt, you were there. You saw them try to pry the guy out of the ambulance. And then the next night, you're giving him a championship opportunity. How does that make sense?
It does not make sense.
Right. Okay, so moving on to the next thing that we can be infuriated about. Kurt Angle and his angle. Where's that going and how is that going to piss us off?
Well, I really looked at it and my only conclusion is that CM Punk is definitely making a surprise return next week.
It's about as logical as any of the other explanations I've had. I've heard. A lot of people are saying that it is going to be a love affair storyline with Stephanie, or a love affair storyline with Triple H, or a love affair angle with Dixie Carter because she's on the Kurt Angle 24, or he's exposing some sort of love child that was secretly, you know, hidden from everyone.
Named CM Punk, obviously.
Well, obviously, people are also saying, like, Jason Jordan or Chad Gable. Funny thing, though, if you watch that 24 Kurt Angle, they show, like, old stuff, like him wrestling and everything. Looks a lot like Chad Gable now.
Yeah.
Granted, like, you know, the hair is different and everything, but, like, wow, they look like they could be related. So they might go that right, you never know.
Here's my truest of hopes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that mysterious phone call was live, right?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Here's my truest of hopes.
Mm-hmm. I've heard another theory, but I'll.
So this is. I'm going to assume, because the mysterious person is showing up next week on Raw.
Yes.
So I am going to assume that they have a plan for that. Like if it's
At least through SummerSlam, probably.
That I'm going to assume they know who's showing up.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, if this was a, you know, anonymous Raw dream, if it's more than 2-3 weeks, like, nope, you don't know. You have no idea. You'll figure it out later. That's your plan. Mm-hmm. But I will give them the benefit of the doubt that when they taped this Kurt Angle on the phone segment,
yeah,
they knew who he was talking to, quote unquote,
yes,
and who would be showing up next week.
Yeah.
My truest hope is that it's supposed to be somebody, Vince or Triple H or whoever.
Right.
Or CM Punk, whatever. But for whatever reason, Kurt, used to talking to people on the phone, tends to end conversations with "I love you,"
mm-hmm,
because of who he talks to on the phone in his day-to-day life.
Right.
And just reflexively ended his phone call with an "I love you."
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to change their storyline because that "I love you" is hanging up the whole internet.
Right, yeah.
As trying to decide who Kurt Angle is.
Hmm. Okay.
So just for the difficulty on WWE, or the like trying to sweep it under the rug and be like, he never said that.
Right. And just edit that part out.
Yep.
Okay. There's also an angle. Sorry. That's bad pun. Sorry. I honestly didn't mean it that time. There's also a theory that they're going to say that the person on the phone is Brie Bella. And that Birdie is actually Kurt Angle's kid. And it starts a feud between the two GMs. Thus bringing back Daniel Bryan.
Do you remember, I, like, back at WrestleMania, was predicting... Hang on, did we ever do our WrestleMania predictions? I don't think we ever did our WrestleMania predictions.
No, we didn't.
Next week, WrestleMania predictions! We should probably do that.
Shoot, okay.
Do you have yours still?
I have mine.
Mine are somewhere on the drive.
Yeah, mine too.
One of mine, I'll go ahead and tell you now, one of mine is Kurt Angle, Daniel Bryan.
Right.
Because why not?
Right.
If this is the reason, I don't want that point.
No.
No, thank you. Take it back.
No, not at all. I don't know. I just... The Dixie Carter... If it's Dixie Carter, it's going to feel gross. I mean, if it's
Dixie Carter, it's fine. Everybody eventually shows up on Raw.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. I'm not going to say, like, Dixie Carter will definitely be on Raw Sunday because she's never been the hot commodity Bischoff was.
No, Lord, no.
Like, but if it is, it's fine. I'm not going to be shocked. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be disgusted.
Right. Honestly, well, it probably isn't as bad as a lot of the other venues or other avenues they can go.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Moving on to a development from today, actually.
Yes.
WWE has canceled Talking Smack.
Okay. Have they canceled Talking Smack effective immediately, correct?
Yes, effective immediately. Like, last week's Talking Smack was the last one to follow a SmackDown Live. It will still exist as a post pay-per-view half-hour talk show, just like Raw.
That begs the question:
mm-hmm,
how much money are they putting into Talking Smack?
Right,
where they felt like
it seems relatively cheap.
It does.
The only inconvenient thing I can think of is that they have to record it after Talking
Smack.
Well, that's the thing. You can hear it a lot of times of, you know, a lot of the theme music and everything in the background. They do it at the same time as 205 Live. So what's the point? They have to be upset at ratings at that point. Because honestly, they're still there.
But what?
The only people that probably are complaining are the talent that are on the show that could be already on the road.
Right.
That's the only other complaint I can think of is them saying that all ratings have taken a dip. But that's the thing. They originally put it there. They put Talking Smack at the after 205 Live as a tentpole so people will stay tuned beyond 205 Live to give them some ratings. But 205 Live is such a stinker that it's killing ratings for Talking Smack.
The thing is, so what do they think they're going to put on the network
Right.
At, what, 10:30 on a Tuesday?
No,
11:30?
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, because that's an hour show.
205 Live is an hour long show. It comes on 11 o'clock.
What are they gonna put on the network at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday night that's gonna beat Talking Smack's ratings?
It is the same time slot as any other new premiering network show that I guarantee you has a lot more money put into it. Those 24s that come on at 11 o'clock after, or even later, 11:15, 11:30, on the network after Raw, is probably has so much more production money put into it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to cancel that. Well, they will eventually because they've also canceled Unfiltered with Renee Young. So Renee Young really doesn't have
maybe
anything.
Maybe they're mad at Renee Young.
Maybe. I don't know. Because she really doesn't have anything going right now except for kickoff shows and post pay-per-view shows now.
Yeah.
But from a week-to-week basis, she's, you know, my guest at this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I
think it has to be for them a ratings issue, which is funny because the source of that problem is 205 Live, but they would rather nix Talking Smack over 205 Live or finding something to fix with 205 Live.
So it sucks that the word live is in the title of 205 Live because I watch 205 on Wednesdays.
Yeah, I don't even watch it anymore.
See, I watch NXT and then I could do some more wrestling because it's only an hour.
Sure.
And then 205 Live happens. So rock on.
I come home from work and skip straight to Talking Smack. Even when I was watching 205 Live.
Talking Smack was first, and then maybe you fall asleep to 205.
Yeah, pretty much.
And see, that's the
It was a great avenue to get your wrestlers over on a show that has an hour less time to do it than the other show.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, in that half hour, in those brief, 5 to 8 minute segments with each of those guests, did better to get those wrestlers over than a lot of half hour matches on Raw.
Well,
and a lot of matches on SmackDown, a lot of segments on both shows.
If you look, I mean,
it added depth.
You think of the Google hits for The Miz is the best example. In the past, since the brand split, it will be your top seven hits are going to be his 205 or his Talking Smack.
I will go as far to say as Talking Smack is a 1-to-1 ratio of exactly why The Miz's career has been revitalized within the last year. It's because of Talking Smack. And then, like, everyone who has flourished on Talking Smack has been cherry-picked and put on Raw now.
Yes.
Because they're over now.
See, that's, like, I almost want to be like, is this a Raw Talk jealousy?
Maybe.
Situation?
Because Raw Talk was garbage. I still want, like, they could put the same people on there because they're so tempted to put... Yeah, they'll have Renee Young, but then they put Booker T on him. Like, well, he's garbage. I'm sorry. He is garbage on commentary. He's garbage on these talk shows. He's garbage on kickoff. I get it. He's a Hall of Famer and an amazing wrestler and an all-around great dude. Great for him. He's awful at speaking. Why do they still put him in speaking roles? Fine.
I don't feel that strongly about Booker T, but I understand where you're coming from. And I want to support you from the sidelines.
Thank you. nobody's essentially happy about it, talent-wise.
Oh,
Renee Young and Daniel Bryan both found out from Twitter. Weren't even told. And I'm assuming that's probably how Renee Young also found out that Unfiltered was canceled.
When her name is in the title of the show.
Yeah. Max Landis actually put on a petition on change.org. It's last I checked, it was up to like 3,000 signatures. All right. Yeah, my name's on there. It's because why not? I am proud to say, and this is going to sound really douche-nozzly of me, I was in one of the first 10 people to sign up for it. Because I was bored and just had Twitter open on my work computer. Mm-hmm. And I just happened to see it when he tweeted it. So I got there in the first 10.
Good for you. You and Max Landis must be best friends now.
Just the closest.
It's honestly, it's a situation where I desperately want to see inside numbers on the network.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing for, like, Netflix, where, like, I want to know what they're doing. Like, I don't know. I'm a numbers junkie when it comes to these kind of things, like what shows are going up, what shows are going down, and compare and contrast.
I want to see exactly what information they had where they came to this conclusion.
Yes.
You know?
Every year or so, all right, this is a weird detour, but I'm going to try and wrap it in. There's a show called Last Man Standing.
Okay.
It is a Tim Allen show on ABC.
Yeah, okay.
It's basically the opposite of Home Improvement. It's just like Tim Allen, but now he has $3 instead of three sons. Wackadoo!
Is he still the wacky husband figure that doesn't know what he's doing at all?
Pretty much.
Okay.
It is fine, harmless, goes in on Friday night television.
Does, like, he have a weird catchphrase, but it's not really a catchphrase? It's just,
it's
really
just a noise? Grunt? He's, all right. Well, I'll get, yes.
Is it the same one?
For lack of a better explanation, yes. No, he's, it's like, it's a laugh track. It's a simple, mindless comedy. It is also, however, Tim Allen is a conservative in real life, and it is a
platform for that.
It's a sitcom with a conservative slant, which, in all honesty, there's not a lot of.
Right.
So it was canceled this past season. At the end of the season, it was canceled after, I think, six seasons.
And boy, were a lot of
somewhat
right-wing Christian people on Facebook angry. Mm-hmm. I remember this, yes.
So it was somewhat unexpected, and it was this immediate backlash of, like, liberal Hollywood's immediately trying to cancel the one conservative, But, and so there was, like, this immediate sighting of, like, these are the ratings it's getting.
Yeah.
And
I'm guessing it wasn't great.
Well, no, it was fine. It was fine for a Friday. But what goes into it is, the show wasn't produced by ABC. It was produced by somebody else and then paid for by ABC.
Yeah.
So ABC wasn't getting certain rights to it. ABC wasn't getting certain residuals. And ABC decided it was better for them financially to cancel this show and put in a show that they own with a chance of getting that new show into syndication in the future.
It would be more of a return on their investment.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that while other shows on ABC were getting lower ratings than Last Man Standing, those other shows were
owned by ABC
shows.
So they're getting more of the share.
Exactly. All that is to say, all that's really interesting. A lot of stuff goes into
those decisions,
making these decisions. But because of Nielsen ratings, because of publicly traded companies, because of all this stuff over there on that end, I can follow this and be like, oh, ABC made this decision. It made, you know, Sony makes this decision. The DVD sales go to this. So, you know.
Right.
So when I'm buying full seasons of DVDs, am I actually helping out the people who have the power to renew the show?
Yeah.
You know, you can follow and trail this. I can't do any of that with the network.
No.
It's a mystery. They canceled this show that I thought was fairly popular. Like,
yeah, you don't know if
all I have is anecdotal Twitter likes it.
Right. You don't know if they put more, they don't know if they value more watching it live or watching it on demand later.
Exactly. You know, I don't know.
I'm assuming they probably value live more. And I don't, but I couldn't tell you why. Because, you know, the same ads run, you know, whenever you watch it.
Yeah.
So you would think they would be happy with it being watched at all.
But I don't know how much it costs compared to other things. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, because it obviously has to cost some. They pay for, if nothing else, the lights and the electricity and stuff. But I don't know, for their streaming, I don't know if it costs them more to stream stuff live or to stream stuff to me, you know, afterwards.
Right.
And I don't know if that's it. I don't know if the timing is an issue. I don't know what the ratings of 205 Live are. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the adjustment of that 10 o'clock time slot was when Talking Smack moved. I don't know Talking Smack's pre-ratings to their post-ratings after their time slot move. I don't know their ratings compared to Raw Talk. I don't know the financial investment WWE has in Raw Talk compared to Talking Smack. Because let's be honest, I'm sure they're paying Booker T a lot more than they are Renee Young.
Yeah, and probably more than Dana Bryan, even though, you know, he's has a storied career and a former champion. Well, he's not a Hall of Famer.
He's not a Hall of Famer, and he's still filling out a contract that he
is already,
was on when, back well, when he was an active wrestler.
Well, if he's still on that contract, it's probably more than they're paying Booker.
But I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Because I'm assuming they would probably, because he has a in-ring talent contract, even though he's not in the ring anymore, but he's that still was with his contract. So, and as over as he was, I assume that they are paying him more because I believe he re-signed right around that time that he was, you know, right there at the top.
But like, and I don't know, it might just be, you know what, Vince doesn't like this dancing around the line of kayfabe versus reality.
Sure.
Like Vince wants, if you're on his network and you're not in documentary, you're full kayfabe.
Right.
Like, and that might be it.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have made a phone call that's like, hey, let's keep it kayfabe. Or maybe that happened and it's not being...
And it was completely ignored.
But I don't know.
Right, because they're not going to have that conversation. We're not going to get that explanation. But they put out a statement that really just didn't tell us anything.
Yeah. And I don't expect, I don't know, because they don't have to because of their network, But that leads to lots of nonsensical speculation of like, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. I don't know.
A couple quick bullet points just to quickly touch on. This week, Austin Aries was released from his WWE contract. The first reports were that Austin Aries asked for it, WWE obliged. Later rumor is that he apparently was just difficult to work with. I don't know, and it's one of those things where you don't really know who to believe because you're not going to get really...
Right. So it's this weird kind of thing where, like, CM Punk was difficult to work with.
Sure.
I don't think we can, you know, stick our heads in the sand on that one.
Right.
But I like CM Punk.
Right.
And so my first reaction is like, well, suck it up. He's awesome, and you bend a record for him.
Right.
I like Austin Aries, but I don't like Austin Aries at the CM Punk level.
Sure.
So, I mean, he's like, he was fired. He was difficult to work with. I was like, shouldn't be difficult to work with. That's your problem, Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Which is a total double standard.
Sure.
I'll cop to that.
And it also sucks because he was, you know, probably the second most over guy on 205 Live.
Yes.
And they've kind of struggled really building anybody else.
I will say.
There's Neville and Tozawa's on is, you know, around there somewhere.
I will say, if I was stuck on 205 Live after my work in NXT.
Yeah.
And I finally got there and they put me on commentary and then 205 Live.
Yeah.
And then said.
Well, the commentary thing is I believe he was still recovering from the eye injury.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do that and then you go from commentary, you're better. And they put you on the internet show after the real show.
Yeah.
And then say, hey, you're going to lose the champion 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
I'd be a little difficult to work with, too.
And be the opening match on the kickoff to WrestleMania.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't be happy with that either. So I can't blame him. I believe he's got the, I want to say, 30-day no-compete.
I think so. He had the shorter one.
Yeah. So, but soon enough, he'll be on, you know, your favorite indie show. Doing what he does best. I doubt he'll go back to GFW/TNA.
He'll be Ring of New Japan something.
Ring of New Japan, nice. But speaking of, so do we even want to talk about Paige and Del Rio? Or Alberto, excuse me.
I just want
to... It's got to the point where it's just the more and more things that happen / more and more details that come out about this airport situation and all this stuff. It just seems that much more sad for Paige.
Yes.
Because it's becoming clearer and clearer on how much of a terrible human being Alberto is.
I mostly want to commend you for not opening up this podcast with a joke. We have a big important story to cover and it's Del Rio again.
Because because we've talked about it several occasions.
We do that a lot. We do like a big story and then it's dumb story. But
honestly,
like, I'd be like, our last 6 were like Del Rio related because he's been, or Alberto, whatever.
Right.
He's Alberto Del Rio, sorry.
Yeah, he is. So all that happened, there's audio of what happened, and it happened at an airport, so you know there's video of it, security camera video of it, and all this evidence is pointing at one thing, that Del Rio is not an okay dude.
Yeah.
When it comes to his significant other. And then you have Paige who's like, no, you guys have got it all wrong. It's all my fault, essentially, is what she's saying. And it's a personal matter. Please stay out of our personal business, but yet still posting about personal business.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just one of the things where it's just like, I know people are probably trying to get into her ear and be like, you need to get away from this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hitting a brick wall. But I'm just like, something has got to get to her. Because ultimately, this is, it went from like this joke thing of like this horrible relationship or this wacky, dysfunctional relationship or whatever. And now it's gotten to the point where it is sad and we should probably be worried.
Yes.
You know, and you just want her, like, because she's been through a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know. She's got all this stuff going on with WWE that she's pretty much thrown away because of this dude. And now, because of that, this dude is, you know, making probably her think in the back of her mind that she's given all that up for nothing. On top of the leaks,
mm-hmm.
all that being tarnished, like her, you know, good name, what was left of it is gone. It's not going to help this movie that The Rock like. And granted, in the grand scheme of things, of her life and her well being, that's the lowest priority. But you know,
I have talked to other people and hit similar walls that I think people are hitting with Paige now.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I mean, there's not a whole lot to say. Like, I feel like,
yeah,
there's no non-Paige person that's really jumping to Del Rio's defense on this one.
No.
And just like, it will continue to shake out because, as please stay out of our private business as they are, one of them seems fine posting their private business online, and the other one can't keep from hitting things.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
So it will all come out whether they want it to or not.
I believe that there's still some sort of investigation going on with the incident. Don't believe charges were filed, even though one of them threatened the other. And it's not, of course, there's conflicting reports between, you know, what she's saying, what actually happened, on who's threatened to report who or whatever. It sucks. On a lesser extent, GFW suspended Alberto, who's also their heavyweight champion. And it's one of those things where, like, they just rebranded.
Yeah, it's like,
and they're now, like, now they are, like, literally saying, like, oh, GFW wrestler Alberto. Mm-hmm. It's like, is it too early to rebrand back to TNA?
Could we say we were still technically TNA when he was suspended?
Right. Like, it's like, we've got this clean, fresh image, and as soon as you get it out from the dryer, it's just tainted with Alberto.
I will say, like, it's fun to bag on TNGFAW, whatever.
Right.
But like,
that's just
a bummer.
That just sucks for them. And I don't feel bad for them because it seems like Anthem and Jeff Jarrett aren't really necessarily always on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of, you kind of deserve that, but at the same time, it's like, that's just bad timing.
Yep.
That's just crap timing. But at the same point, this is the guy you hired.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know what? They're getting real good at rebranding. They're getting it down to a science.
Yeah. So
the amount of rebranding they've done over the past 5 years.
So all Jeff Jarrett needs to do is come up with a new gold pyramid scheme. Call it something else, and then Anthem will be dumb enough to buy it out.
Three new letters.
Three new
whatever
letters.
Whatever they are.
Whatever, I don't know, just random, like, ABC.
Yeah, do
well,
whatever
no,
you want.
That's a TV
company.
That's
a TV
company.
Show.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll come up with something.
All right, anything else?
No, I believe that's it.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRTire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, and sometimes Sundays.
Yep, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get a new episode every single week.
Mm-hmm.
You can give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or if you write a review, that kind of really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes goes.
Yep, and if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a message on there or a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. So what are the kind of things we're working on?
Speaking of, and this is something I haven't even told Joel yet. A friend of mine has started a music blog, and he's asked me to do a guest spot on his article next week. So once that goes live, I'll make sure it gets posted on Class Ring Attire so you guys can check that out.
All right. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.